off with its head.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. As we start the week, General Motors is short one CEO. Rick Wagner has agreed to step down, soon to be replaced by GM's chief operating officer, Fritz Henderson. All that as the Obama administration prepares to announce more aid for the struggling auto industry. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
One main challenge facing GM is its legacy costs, trying to get the United Auto Workers Union to take company stock in exchange for major cutbacks in retiree health care. Auto industry analyst Eric Merkel says the Wagner ouster is just the latest attempt to do that.
Politically, it could help the restructuring process, but the only way that it would is it would say, look, management is giving. Here's the example, and now the UAW and the bondholders, you're going to be given too.
Still, he says any CEO is going to have a difficult time getting concessions out of various stakeholders. The White House is offering 60 days of additional operating money for the new phase of the restructuring. And in a new twist, bankruptcy appears to be a real possibility. President Obama is expected to announce today that the government will back warranties for GM and Chrysler vehicles. The argument against bankruptcy has been that no one will buy a car from a bankrupt company. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Well, this latest GM move is already putting a damper on the markets here at home. Futures are lower this morning with the carmaker blues. The Dow lost ground on Friday, more than 148 points to close at 77.76. NASDAQ and S&P shares lost about 2% each, but it was another week of gains for the three overall. The GM cloud has spread overseas as well. There was a big sell-off in Asia. Markets there fell between 4 and 5%. Japanese automakers led the declines on the Nikkei, and trading at the Hang Seng was sour as well. And European shares are lower by 2 and 3%, with the German DAX and the biggest drop so far at 3.5%. Well, raise your hand if you'd like to do something about big bank overdraft fees. Yeah, that's what I thought. Today's the deadline for the public to weigh in about proposed changes the Federal Reserve is considering. They're thinking about requiring banks to get customers' consent before enrolling them in their overdraft programs. Right now, nearly all banks sign customers up automatically for those hefty fees. Danielle Carson reports.
The Federal Reserve's website features hundreds of complaints from people getting slapped with unexpected overdraft fees when they use their debit or ATM cards. A survey by the Center for Responsible Lending finds a majority doesn't want to be automatically enrolled in an overdraft program.
Most people want their debit card transactions to be declined if they would result in an overdraft. Now you can use your debit card for the smallest of purchases. It will go through regardless of your account balance, and you'll be charged that fee.
The center's Leslie Parrish says banks rake in more than $17 billion a year in overdraft fees. Banks say customers can easily check their accounts on the internet or phone.
But it's very unclear sometimes. We hear of a lot of people have their paycheck deposited into their account. They make a string of debit card purchases and then find out it won't actually be credited for several days.
The Federal Reserve hopes to decide by summer whether to let customers opt in or out of their bank's overdraft programs. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Tobacco users are about to cough up more money for a smoke. Beginning Wednesday, the single largest federal tobacco tax increase ever takes effect to finance a major expansion of health insurance for kids. Other tobacco products will see large tax increases as well. Major cigarette makers already raised prices a couple of weeks ago, partly to offset any drop in profits once the per-pack tax climbs more than 60 cents a pack.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
President Obama this week is headed to London for the Group of 20 summit. World political and financial leaders will be meeting to discuss the global economic fallout. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is calling on those heavy hitters to support a $1 trillion stimulus package for developing nations. Gretchen Wilson joins us this morning from Johannesburg. So what is Ban asking for exactly?
Well, Ban really wants to make sure that G20 leaders don't lose sight of the challenges in developing countries. He's looking for $1 trillion, half of which would go towards aid and long-term lending, and the other half to go through the IMF to inject liquidity into emerging economies. The idea is to keep the lights on, keep hospitals running, keep markets working to make sure that the developing world does not collapse. The idea is that there's a growing consensus here in the developing world that we need to really look at the priorities here, and that there's a number of people, even in the West, who are saying, forget about corporations. It's actually the developing world that's too big to fail.
Does he think he's going to get this money?
Well, of course, it's a tough sell in this environment. The fact is, developed countries and rich countries have actually already dropped the ball on their earlier commitments to increase aid to poor countries. You might remember back in 2005, the G8 made a big song and dance about how they'd beef up this aid to developing countries, but by and large, they haven't paid up. So the hope is that they're actually going to meet those targets and then some. The World Bank is actually joining this cause and saying, you know, 40% of the world's poorest countries are highly exposed to the credit crunch, and that 53 million people will be stuck in poverty for something that they really had nothing in creating. The argument is that the developing world stands to suffer the most, whereas it really had no, you know, hand in creating this crisis. So there is a number of people who are really looking towards the world's poorest and saying, you know, we really need to make sure that we don't forget about them in the midst of all this.
So, Gretchen, what's the response to these bailouts and stimulus packages in the developing world?
Here in the developing world, there's a sense that, you know, wait a minute, hang on. There's all this hand-wringing in the United States about a crisis. You know, well, what is a crisis? There are many people who are saying billions of us here were already in crisis before this whole thing even started. And so we need to make sure that our issues are remaining front and center as the whole world negotiates how they're going to respond to this financial crisis.
Gretchen Wilson joining us from South Africa. Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.